money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
Well, good morning, Mark. I'm doing great today. How about you?
Oh, fantastic. Now that we've had a little bit of a cooling, that it's no longer 105 degrees in the morning time here, it's a little bit actually chilly.
Do you know that the 4 days it was over 100 this week, I escaped and went to Florida and got back just in time for the cool weather.
I had a new client that moved during the summer from Connecticut to Oklahoma, and they were one of our people that have helped move who never saw their home in person until they moved here. And they love it. It's absolutely wonderful.
That's good news.
And so they had, I was a little bit concerned because they had said, hey, Mark, can you drop by? And I was like, oh boy, you know, it's something, did we miss something that would surprise them? No, they just had cupcakes. They want to say thank you. And then they asked me, is it always like this summer? So I was like, well,
it was before it cooled down or
before,
after?
No, this was before it cooled down. It was right in the midst of it was, you know, 105, 107, that, and they're like, is this always every summer? I'm like, well, you'll have little pockets like this every summer, but this summer's been a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of summers that have been more than normal, haven't we? So
that's it. So our with us this morning. Whoa.
Oh, that was my watch that I leaned on wanting to say what they'd found on the web.
Siri
about
is
that.
Wanting to. Oh, yeah. Siri is wanting to talk to us about how hot it is in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there you go.
So this morning we have with us our money man, Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage.
NMLS number
1197740.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning. Well, we've had a really good week at our office, Matt.
Good.
And put a lot of folks under contract.
Fantastic.
We didn't close as many as we put under contract this week.
Now, this week, in
what we have, closing week.
Slow closing week, but next week is a packed in.
Oh, yeah,
week.
It is packed in next week. We're going to be running from one closing company to the next, mostly Chicago Title, luckily.
That's right.
So,
well, good. We're the same way. Our activity was up, our applications and phone calls and pre-qualifications, so that's encouraging. I told Mark the last couple of weeks, maybe school-related, school starting related, it seemed like it had slowed down a little bit, but last week was a good week.
Well, it was just too hot
last
2 weeks.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to get out and look at houses in 110 temperature. So, but, you know, we're kind of going to go an oddball way on the mortgage stuff today. Are you ready for it?
I think so. I hope so.
Okay. We're going to talk about qualifying for a loan when you're self-employed. That is a difficult thing for some, and I'll never forget the time that I went into Perry Duncan's office with 4 years tax returns back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been self-employed, I mean, practically my whole career, and I didn't know if I'd qualify or not.
Right.
Because, you know, you whittle it down as much as you can to your income so that you can not have to pay as much taxes, but then do you whittle it down so far that you don't qualify for your loan? Doesn't matter what your gross is. Matters what your adjusted gross
Correct.
Is, right?
That's exactly right.
So
yes.
Luckily, he said, you can buy your house, Becky. I mean, I'd owned a house, but I don't know why. I think I was jumping up in price quite a bit. And I was a little bit fearful, and I wanted to own both houses.
Right, right.
Instead of just
at the same
one.
Time.
Right, right, right. So
now I tell you, you know, COVID and the pandemic, it changed the game for what we refer to as self-employed borrowers, entrepreneurs. And there were challenges during that time. But as I shared with you and Mark, we're beginning to see things loosen up in terms of requirement, in terms of the models that we use to evaluate self-employed borrowers. So, yeah, we'll talk about that.
So let me start with a question for you over just basically, what is the difference between someone who is a W-2 employee versus someone who is self-employed? Like, how do you as a lender look at required differently, or how do you look at it differently?
Yeah, so part of the application process, they're asked, you know, do you have a percentage of ownership in a business? And that percentage is 25%. So if they own 25% or more, then there are different requirements. 25% or less, there are different requirements. But, you know, typically it's those clients that are 1099, right? Or they might have an LLC, they might have a K-1, but they're typically filing a Schedule C or working their tax through a K-1.
And so what does that self-employed need to bring to you when they first meet?
Yeah, great question. So pandemic, it was significant. At a minimum, 2 years tax returns, and we needed an updated profit and loss statement, and that profit and loss statement needed to be supported by bank statements. So we actually, in some cases, we went back a full 12 months to document bank statement and income into their bank. Today, it's a 2-year tax return requirement on your government loans. So on your FHA loan and your VA loan, it's still a 2-year tax return requirement. And then on conventional loans, we're beginning to see that loosen, depending on risk profile of the client, from a 2-year requirement to a 1-year requirement, which is very, very encouraging, because most self-employed clients, you know, 2020 was a challenging year.
Yes, it was for a lot of folks. I mean, 2020, we owned two businesses outside real estate, and they were very vulnerable to the pandemic. So without reserves, we would have, I mean, we didn't show any income. We showed losses on both companies.
Right.
But
right.
Luckily, there was a solid real estate business there. So what are, like, tell us the questions. Interview Mark as to what you would ask him if he were self-employed as a, how about as an electrician? Mark's is pretty
sparky. We'll call him Sparky Mark.
This is a shocking turn.
Yeah. but he does, he's union worker.
Okay.
But doesn't, so he takes kind of like freelance stuff. So
right.
He doesn't have a solid
right.
income. So
what questions would you ask?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, Dean and I, we encourage this type of conversation, and preferably we do it and sit down with our clients, which we're doing now. So this is absolutely perfect. But, you know, one of the first things we're going to ask is, tell me about your employment. Tell me about your career. How are you compensated? How is that compensated documented in terms of pay stubs, in terms of invoice, in terms of direct payment, perhaps from your clients? So, you know, Mark, tell me about your employment.
Well, I get paid into an LLC called Sparky Marky LLC. And so everything gets paid into that, and then I pay myself out of that.
Okay. Great. And how do you pay yourself out of that? Is it a shareholder distribution? Are you W-2ing yourself? How are you paying yourself?
Yeah, distribution.
Okay. Fantastic.
You have an income too? I mean, do you pay yourself an income plus distribution or just distribution?
A income plus distribution.
Okay. So perhaps a monthly distribution,
income.
Something
yeah.
like that. Right. So, you know, we would put you into a self-employed category. And being in that category, at a minimum, we're going to look at last year's 2021 tax return. We're going to ask you for an updated year-to-date profit loss for 2022, and we may need to look at 2020 tax return.
Well, on behalf of Sparky Markey Electrician, much appreciated. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. We'll be right back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. So, Matt, we've been talking about kind of this process for self-employment. What's the process for pre-qualification? Because I hear so many individuals, that feels intimidating to go get pre-qualified.
Yeah, good question. And we hear it, you know, occasionally, Mark, that we're perhaps talking to a potential client or somebody that's considering getting into the market and purchasing a home, but they're very intimidated by the process and, you know, kind of like you said, you know, potential rejection or perhaps not qualifying. So, you know, again, you know, Dean and I encourage a consultation, and sometimes that is an initial consultation before we even ask them to complete the application process. That can be done over the phone, that can be done face to face, just whatever's convenient for them. But, you know, the initial step outside of that consultation would be the client completing an application. We typically do that online, not always, but I'd say 98% of our clients are doing something online with the application. So we gather that information, we gather the data, and then it's at that point that we take what we have and we determine, you know, what products and loan products and the pros and cons of those products. And then we highly encourage a meeting with the client at that point so we can review the information and the numbers and go over the pros and cons of the loan products.
Yeah. And like this past week, Matt, I know we had a client that we're working with that, you know, we were going back and forth over, do we do a conventional loan or do a government-backed loan?
Right.
And how do you decide or help the client decide which product is right for them on that?
Yeah, so during the pre-qual process, there are four or five variables that we're looking at. Certainly the credit profile, so the credit score associated with their credit profile. What's on their credit report? What obligations are showing up on that report? We look at assets or funds available that they have that they can put down towards a down payment and towards closing costs and what they may or may not have left after they pay those closing costs. We're looking at income. We're looking at employment. We're looking at stability in both of those categories.
Of the main things you're looking at, too, is the amount of cash assets they have for a down payment,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So if you've only got about 4% as a down payment, your choices have been made for you,
they
right?
They have, yeah. I mean, and a lot of times that's the case, Becky. We have the information, and it's like, you know, your only option, you know, is this particular loan product. In that case, it would likely be unless they're a veteran or currently serving.
Or native, you know, with a card-carrying native.
Right.
Sometimes the 184 loan is an option because
right.
It's less money down even than FHA, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And USDA, depending mm-hmm. on, you know, where they're looking, they may qualify for a USDA loan. But
go ahead. I would love to find out. Let's just talk about the different type of loans that are available and why there needs to be more than one type of loan. In the olden days, there was one type of loan.
That's right. That's correct.
Which was conventional.
That's exactly right.
Loan. And if you didn't have 20% down, you didn't get the loan.
That's correct.
Now, that was before my time. Because by
No, listen, I'm part of that time, too. You're exactly right.
But conventional loans are investor owned, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So big insurance companies and such.
Correct.
Own the paper, the mortgage.
Or ultimately, it's owned by the Fannie Mae's or the Freddie Mac's, which are the government-sponsored entities that buy conventional loan mortgages.
Okay. And Fannie Mae stands for?
Federal National Mortgage Association.
And can you do Freddie Mac?
Oh, I'll think about it.
Okay. You hear about these entities, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac.
Right.
And they each have a little bit different requirements, too.
They do. They absolutely do.
So if you've got 25% down, sometimes you can get a tiny bit better rate with a Freddie Mac, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, we're getting into the weeds here, but it's important information. You know, both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they have their own what we call automated underwriting models. And they truly are different because we can take a conventional loan client and we will run it through the Fannie Mae model, and we might get certain documentation requirements. We may not get an approval, but we can take that same loan and run it through Freddie Mac and get different documentation requirements and perhaps an approval. Doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen.
So the automated underwriting guidelines, do you still do manual underwriting?
Rarely. Very, very rarely.
But you have an underwriter.
We do, and it's, I don't want to discount their value, but it's more of a quality control check. You know, our underwriting team is fabulous. They're knowledgeable. They're experienced. But, it's more of a QC than anything.
All right. Just explain, what is underwriting? It's one of those terms that gets thrown out there all the time, but if you're not in the mortgage business, you're not – I mean, no one else uses that term.
Right.
Well, so insurance does.
Right.
So what is underwriting?
Yeah.
Underwriting is a review of the loan and the documentation and data associated with that loan for ultimately loan approval. Again, we run it through a model and we get a yes or a no. That's not how it's categorized, but that's what happens. And, but we still have to send it for a, like Becky said, a manual review. They're looking to make sure that we've dotted our I's and crossed our T's. Let me give you an example. So Mark says, I'm Sparky Marky and I make this amount of income. Well, we're going to double check that in terms of the tax return. We're going to validate that. So that's an example of what our underwriting and loan review teams do.
So it's basically a financial expert that examines the documents and
yes,
makes sure that
yes,
they're
yeah.
for
I mean,
real.
These are highly qualified, experienced people that have been in the industry. They're very, very knowledgeable in terms of the loan products and the various guidelines associated with those loan products.
So they assess how much risk the financial institution is taking by loaning an individual money.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, that'd be a pretty important job.
Yeah, it is. And like I said, they're very, very knowledgeable, very, very experienced, and they've been exposed to a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So it's a trust but verify, because you're
right.
taking the information that someone else has brought to you and trying to decide, are we going to give a loan?
Yes.
But then the underwriting verifies.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, okay. So if you have a certain amount of income – a certain amount of assets for your down payment, mm-hmm. It will restrict what kind of loans you qualify for. I mean, if you have 20%, you're golden,
right.
20% down.
Right.
But if you don't have that much.
Yeah, that's going to limit,
it
you
will
know, what
limit
loan product we can,
the
we
type
can channel
loan.
Them into, correct.
Well, and the type of loan that you get determines your interest rate.
It does. Absolutely.
So. And what's kind of amazing to me is sometimes conventional rates are higher than government rates, mm-hmm. but usually not.
Yeah. I mean, conventional loans are highly, highly driven by the credit profile and the credit score.
Okay.
So the better, the higher the credit score, then you will typically qualify for the very best conventional rate. But should that score begin to tear down, then that rate could increase, or the costs associated with that rate could increase.
So are you looking for, what is the golden score that you're looking for? If someone has this score, they know they can go in and get almost any kind of loan.
Ooh, right. That sounds like a good thing for us to come back to.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Come back after the break right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins, and we are talking with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. And if you want to join in the conversation today, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. And it's time for our word of the day. Word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Pre-approval. Pre-approval. Wonder what that means.
I didn't pre-approve of this word of the day.
I know, right? So, Matt, tell us, what is a pre-approval?
Let me back up here for a minute. And, you know, typically you'll hear two terms. You'll hear pre-qualification and you will hear pre-approval. A pre-approval is an approval of a client subject to the information they provided on their application and our ability to document that information they provided on their application.
Okay, but then what's pre-qualification then?
Pre-qualification would be we're basing a decision simply on the information or the data that the client has provided.
Okay, so the difference there is basically that you've probably run a credit report on a pre-approval.
On both, we do run credit reports.
Okay, so what's the difference?
Well, on a pre-approval, for instance, if you were to tell me, Matt, I make $100,000 a year, then we're typically going to, well, we are. We're going to look at most recent pay stubs covering our 30-day window. We're also going to look at historic income, W-2s perhaps for 2021 and 2020.
Okay.
If you tell me, Matt, I have X amount of money available for closing costs and down payment, we're going to look at your asset statements, which typically are bank account statements, and we're going to look at a 60-day window of those statements.
So in order to issue a pre-qualification, what?
We really try to avoid pre-qualifications.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
And that's why we like you.
We want the pre-approval. We want the documentation. It creates issues for the client. It creates issues for you and for us if we can't support the approval.
Yeah. Well, we look and I read every single pre-qualification letter or pre-approval letter, and if you don't read it, you don't know what it says,
right?
Because they're all different.
Right.
And if it says SWBC at the bottom of that or at the top of it, if it's got that company name on it, I can depend on the fact that you've run the credit report, that you have some documentation, and that you're working on getting the rest of it.
Correct.
Okay. So, but you guys have a new program.
We do, yeah. Dean and I are really, really excited about this. It's something that's new to our company, has rolled out in the last 60 or 90 days, and it's a certified pre-approval. And, Mark, what that is, it's the pre-approval process. We're gathering the application information and data. We're supporting that with documentation. But we actually send it into underwriting. So we're reviewing that loan. The underwriter, Mark, is reviewing that loan and issuing a certified approval. So it'll be subject to your appraisal and it'll be subject to your title work. The really encouraging thing, or I think a valuable thing with this approval process is the client, if they choose, can lock and shop. So they can lock at a current interest rate and begin the house hunting process with you and your team.
How do you, how long do you let them shop?
It's a 60-day window.
Okay, and you have to close within that period of time, that 60-day window?
No, they have to locate a home, and then it moves to a 30-day close window.
Okay.
Will that allow the closing process to be quicker? Is it possible? Is it because some of the underwriting's been done?
Without question, absolutely.
So, because typically, we're
dependent on the appraisal.
Right. The appraisal is the issue. Yeah. Because basically, it takes about 30 to 45 days on average for most loans. And I know you guys can close on a loan in about 3 weeks. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah, we've done quicker than that, but things really have to align.
Everything has to align. The appraiser getting out there is usually the biggest issue. And so sometimes this really will help a buyer if they need to move quickly, like having all this set up. I can't see anything but helping that kind of scenario.
I think it would help you guys too.
Of course.
You can communicate with the listing realtor and say, hey, you know, this client has already been through the underwriting approval process.
Yeah.
All we need to do is get under contract, get the home appraised, and get our title work done.
Yeah.
And we're good to go.
Well, when you come into the real estate industry, one of the things you discover is not every lender letter is the same. Not every closing place is the same, because anybody can make an offer, but can they actually close?
Right.
Can they actually get to the finishing table is the key.
Well, and the fact that that pre-approval, a certified pre-approval, means that you've literally run the credit report. You've gotten all the documentations. There's three steps to underwriting, right? You've got to have a clear title. So the underwriter looks at the title to the property.
Correct.
You've got to have an appraisal that supports the value and doesn't have repairs required.
Correct.
And then you've got to have a borrower with good credit, assets, and
that
meets all
approve,
the
right.
That you can get approved. So that one step's already done, because you've got, when you go into your home buying process, you are, as the borrower, already totally approved, not just pre-qualified, not just pre-approved. You are approved.
Correct.
That's a first in our market, by the way.
Yeah, we're thrilled with it, and we just need to get the word out.
So let's talk about those golden credit scores numbers. So let's start at the top. What is the best? What's the best of the best?
Well, let's start with the range, why don't we? Credit scores can range from a 300 to a 900. We talked about Fannie Mae. We talked about Freddie Mac. They tell us that a credit score of 740 or greater is you're golden. That puts you in the highest credit. Well, I guess the lowest credit risk. What's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, 740 and greater, than you're
seen as
your
a
credit is outstanding.
Yeah. Okay.
Occasionally Dean and I will see 800s. I've never ever seen a 900. Dean had one the other day that was 840-ish, and that was a first for me.
I've never seen anything above 850.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Okay.
But that 840, usually I see high 800s, not usually, but I have seen high 800s.
700s? Yeah, high 700s?
Yeah.
Okay.
So does it matter?
It really dictates, Mark, what we can do from a loan program.
Because you're in that high category.
Right.
Now, does it matter if you have a 760 versus a 780?
Well, the higher the better, right? I don't know the exact algorithms associated with the model, but I'm sure a 780 reflects better than a 740 in terms of the model review.
Right.
I mean, makes intuitively makes
sense.
So
if you have a 725, for an example, are you going to automatically fall out of the conventional loan model?
Not automatically, but depending on how much you're putting down, you may be impacted by your mortgage insurance premium. And you'll certainly be impacted, from our interest rate perspective. Not significantly, but, you know, there will be a small increase in interest rate.
Well, if you have an 800 score as opposed to a 700 score, your interest rate is going to be a little bit different.
You're correct, yes.
Probably an eighth of a percent or so.
Perhaps, yeah.
So the higher your score, the better.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
And how about a government-backed loan, like an FHA loan?
Certainly not as big as a variable. We don't have I shouldn't say that. When we get into the low 600s, there might be an adjustment even on a government loan, on a VA loan or an FHA loan. But when you're in that 640 to 740 range, there's minimal, if no adjustment, to the government interest rate.
So if you've got a 580 credit score, your goal is to get it to 640.
Yeah, absolutely. To get as high as you possibly can, yes.
Okay.
Another plug for Dean and I and SWBC Mortgage. We also have a new tool associated with our credit provider, and we can go in and do what-if analysis. So we may have a client that has a 580, and we can go in and say, we'd like to get this to a 640. What's the path to doing that? And it will come back and give us the steps.
Wow, that's incredibly helpful.
And sometimes it's a matter of paying off a loan.
It is, or paying down a credit card. I mean, it's very interesting. And then, unfortunately, sometimes there may not be a path to a 640.
Not an immediate path.
Not an immediate.
Yeah, but, there's always a path, a long term.
Could be years. But
most
yes.
people with a 580 credit score don't look long range, is what I have found out. I mean, they live for the moment, right? Yeah.
Living in the moment. Well, we're living in the moment. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It does sound good.
It really
okay.
Does.
Well, our smoking hot deal today is in Del City, in Frolic Meadows.
What cracks me up? So right before during the break, this is such an Oklahoma thing that you remember, like, where a tornado went through.
Yes.
And describe, well, how did it miss that tornado and that?
Well, and then, of course, I grew up on that side of town, on the east side, and so did Mike Gannon.
Yeah.
And so we were like going, now where's that located? Because that tornado took a big swath out of that neighborhood, but it did not hit this house.
It
was
did
built
not.
In 1974, and it's about 2,000 feet or so.
Yep.
And it's priced at $195.
It is. Go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. The inside of this is gorgeous. It really is. It's just beautiful. And so it's at 5312 Southeast 46th Street. But you can take a virtual walkthrough of it, and it is just a really nice three-bedroom, two-bath, wonderful home.
And the square footage is 1,900 and some, right?
It's 2,092 square feet.
Oh, about 2,100
yep.
square feet. So for a three-bedroom, two-bath home, that's a nice big house.
Yeah, and it's got a large Florida room in the back.
Oh.
It's a little sunroom.
Okay.
So it's absolutely gorgeous. So that is our smoking hot deal brought to you by Casa Perico.
Okay. We're talking with Matt McLean here. We're rounding third and headed toward home. Are you ready for any last minute? So the lock and shop.
Certified pre-approval, right?
Also
includes a lock and shop option. Yes.
And so do you have to pay anything for the
You do not.
To lock in your interest
you
for that
not.
Long?
No.
Usually you've got to pay something for a 90-day lock, and essentially that's giving you almost about a 90-day lock.
Yeah, so we start charging at 120 and above.
At 120 days.
120-day lock, yes.
You start charging. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, mm-hmm. especially when interest rates are on the rise.
Yeah.
So
a tremendous amount of risk for us as a lender, you know, locking a loan for 90 days, but we've got really smart guys that handle that for us.
Right. There you go.
Right.
Don't get into that business, right?
Well, that is just a part of the mortgage that just seems so stressful to people over when do you lock the rate?
Well, you know, we call that secondary market management. And I tell you, if you don't have the right people overseeing that and the tools and technology, it, you know, it has brought a lot of mortgage companies down that didn't effectively manage their interest rates and locking of interest rates. And it gets sophisticated because you get into hedging strategies and things like that. But in a company of our size, you know, we might have several million dollars that are locked out there. So it's a significant issue.
Well, you better have it locked in if you're going to promise to loan it at a certain rate.
Yeah, without.
Because in, I'll never forget it, May of 1988, when it went from 8% interest to 10.5% interest in one click.
Yep.
One moment. And there was a mortgage company here, First Security Mortgage, that did not have their own funds locked in, so they could not honor
right.
the interest rates that the client had locked at. So you better go, I mean, you can't just lock in and go with a mortgage company that promises you the best interest rate and that they're going to loan you the money for that, because if that mortgage company doesn't have the reserves to honor their locked rates, you pay, you don't get it. And what are you going to do? Sue a mortgage company that just went out of business?
Yeah. It's a significant service level issue. But yeah, you're exactly right. It during that time, a lot of mortgage companies closed because they weren't effectively managing their
And we were just coming back from the oil bust
right.
at that point.
Right.
So, I mean, the savings and loans were gone.
Yeah.
And you had mortgage companies, and then you lost a lot of those. So it was harder and harder. And that's why the interest rates went up, frankly,
mm-hmm.
Because you don't have supply and demand. There wasn't enough money.
Right.
So the interest rates went up.
So if you were talking to a client, well, let's just say Marky Mark Electrical Company, and Marky Mark is wanting to – Sparky Mark, that's what it was. Sparky Mark, he's wanting to buy something. And I have the choice to lock in today at today's rate with this or float and let the see what happens until I find a house. How do you talk to a client about that?
Yeah, well, that's not something that Dean and I like to get into. Yeah, we're going to provide them the very best advice, but ultimately it is the client's decision whether to, you know, like you said, lock their interest rate or float, hoping that rates may improve. But, you know, we'll look back historically. This is where we've come the last 30, 60, 90 days, and rates have gone up from where they were 90 days ago. Your decision.
Yeah.
Well, and there was a mortgage company some years ago that did a big study, and it was a large mortgage company, and 75% of the people that did not lock, that floated their interest rate until time for closing, paid a higher interest rate than they could have locked at. So, you know, you got gamblers, and then you got some that aren't such gamblers. But if you've got a good interest rate you can qualify for, the sound advice there would be to lock it in, because one of the things that would be a determining factor in my book would be if the interest rate went up 0.5%, could you still afford the house?
Mm-hmm.
If it goes up 1%, can you still afford to purchase the home? Mm-hmm. And if you cannot qualify for it, or if personally your budget will not allow it, well, then you better lock at the interest rate that you do qualify for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. The takeaway, or a takeaway, is know the lender that you're doing business with.
Yeah.
For sure. And So our favorite lender, of course, SWBC Mortgage. And you can find our favorite everybody if just by going to BeckyIvins.com.
And click on Becky's favorites. You'll see it right there at the top.
Okay. So any last words? We just have a couple minutes to go. How do you calm the anxiety of applying for a mortgage without medication?
Yeah. So, you know, that's something that Dean and I are very, very good at. So if you're perhaps questioning whether or not you can qualify, call us. You know, we'll make it simple. We'll make it easy on you. We'll answer your questions. There will be absolutely no pressure. It will just be a good conversation regarding the process and what to consider.
And if you want to raise your qualification level, and maybe you qualify for a $210,000 loan and you're looking to buy something that's, your loan's going to have to be $250,000. Now, can you, their credit score's great, but there are other things that can happen to make you qualify for more money. Do you ever, that takes some time. Do you ever take the time to say, well, if you could pay off these things or pay down this credit card, it not only would raise your credit score, but you also would qualify for more of a mortgage.
That's correct. Yeah. And that's just part of the consultation process that we're more than happy to go through with the client.
I love to talk about mortgages. I love numbers because they don't change.
Right.
Right?
Right. If you have a family member or a friend who is, you know, especially maybe they're a first-time home buyer or they're just kind of this process that scares them, send them this through a podcast. You can do it through Spotify, iTunes, iHeartMedia, anywhere along the lines. It'll be up this next week. And just look up Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, click subscribe, and send it over to them and let them contact us, SWBC Mortgage, and just sit down and make a plan. Thank you always for being with us here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We enjoy it each week. We'll be here next week on News Radio 1000 KTOK.